you and welcome you. We welcome everyone to BizChicks.net TV, the place to be for tips, tools, and strategies to help you do and build a profitable business that's fun to run. We cover everything.
Rachel.
Yes, we cover inside and outside. And today we're going to be talking about the inside, your interior space. And our guest host today is Ms. Sherry Burton Ways. And she's going to talk to us about our space and how to align our space with our purpose. And this is a take two for this. And we appreciate everybody jumping in. Sherry, take it away.
All right. Well, first of all, as always, Terry and Fran, I just want to honor you for the opportunity to speak and talk to your audience once again about their interiors and understanding themselves and how their interiors reflect themselves. I'm Sherry Burton Ways, for those that may be unfamiliar with me. Have a new look this year, no hair, but you know, new year, new look, we're pivoting some things, but basically Sherry Burton Ways, right now my company's called Peaceful and Productive Environments, but we're doing a pivot and we will be making some changes, but primarily my role as CEO, designer, certified feng shui specialist, design psychology coach, whatever you want to call me, is to help people be able to educate themselves about who they are, their purpose in life, and to create interiors that are going to be reflected of their lifestyles authentically, peacefully, and abundantly. And I do that through a variety of different things, feng shui, which is the ancient practice of Chinese placement, is one, interior design, holistic design, when I'm looking at body, mind, and spirit, including color therapy, looking at how color interacts within the interior and how that works with making you a better person. 90% of the time we spend indoors, okay? And some of your viewers are either working from home in their home offices, or some of them may have a great opportunity to work in a work environment that allows them to be able to view this program, or you may have replay viewers. So whatever the situation is, I believe that interiors should reflect who you are, your brand, what you come to the table with, and all that good stuff. So today, what I wanted to talk about was an opportunity that I had a few weeks ago to attend. I don't know, Terry and Fran, if you guys have this concept called meetups out in California.
We do.
Okay, cool. One of the, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. So one of the meetups that I was involved in, thank you, Terry, for giving out my website address. Cool. I went to a meetup called Journey to Your Soul's Home here in the Washington, D.C. area, and it was put on by a very progressive real estate agent. And she's been following me, which I had not known, for a couple of years. She gets my emails, and she's like really super cool, and has been trying to touch base with me, but she's a big fan of feng shui and all those great things. And the title of her talk was looking at your soul's purpose and how that is in alignment with your home. And she was talking about it mostly from the real estate perspective, which is very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I went and attended this and, you know, thought it was interesting. It was a very, very high level discussion, though. And I'm not sure if everybody that was at the event really could follow it, but I was just vigorously taking notes. And I thought that it would be a great idea, as, you know, we've just recently entered the new year, to talk about our soul's purpose, our purpose in life, our mission, and they may not necessarily be what we're doing to make a living for our 9 to 5 or in our businesses. We may have a bigger purpose or a bigger mission, or it may be. So I wanted to, you know, just kind of share with the audience today a little bit about some of the things that I, you know, pulled out of that discussion and maybe answer some questions. And also, you know, discuss an opportunity in which you can create a sacred space for yourself that may answer your soul's mission and purpose in life. So one of the things, exercises that I did last year, the last 2 years for me, has been very, very transitional for many reasons. And I'm still going through my transition, but I'm very pleased and happy with how things are going, because now one of my biggest missions this year is to take better care of myself, okay? So that's more from the health side, mental and spiritual side. So my mission is to live an abundant life. Okay. And I'm doing that from not only my, and if people want to look at me on Instagram, you'll see that, I think, awesome. So I look at abundance in all of those three areas. So I'm talking about my body, my business, and my interpersonal. Okay. And what I'm doing with my body right now is I'm juicing, and I am, yeah, yeah, I'm juicing. I am eating more smoothies. I gave up coffee. And anybody that knows me knows coffee is like my medicine. I have to have that. It's going on 2 weeks tomorrow that I haven't had a cup of coffee. I haven't had Starbucks. And I'm like, no, I'm actually pretty cool now. And I've been I'm doing meditation, went to yoga and all that this past weekend. But the bigger point that I want to make about that is I've had to make adjustments in understanding. Now I'm renting right now, but a home, but in the future or in, you know, wherever I am, even now, is making the adjustment of my interior space, okay? Whether I work from home, so this is my home as well as my work environment, to be in alignment with this bigger purpose in my life. Now let's define purpose for a minute. What do we think of what a purpose is? What is our purpose? What is our mission? And I'm not talking about it from an ego point of view, but I want to talk about it like deep down inside. What is our gut saying about what our mission is? And if you have a business and you have a bigger mission, or even if you're running a nonprofit, is a very good one, is understanding what a purpose is and what our purpose is in life and in our business or what have you. And then once you kind of break down the purpose that you want to define for yourself, okay, whether it's business, personal, or what have you, you want to kind of think about or back into how that environment that you're either living or working in is supporting you or not supporting you in that, okay? And I'll use me as an example. All right, so I'm now juicing and eating raw foods and healthy, you know, creating a healthier lifestyle. So I had to make some adjustments in my kitchen to support that. So for example, I didn't have a juicer, didn't have one. So I had to, you know, purchase a juicer. I had to recreate my kitchen, which I don't have much control over right now because I'm renting, but I had to make some adjustments to my environment to support, you know, raw food, vegetables, to be able to grind the vegetables and things that I'm using in my juicer. And then, you know, think about now composting and using that in my garden or something. So I want to, you know, if I had my own kitchen in my own house, I would have it set up in such a way that I would have a place where I can put compost, for example, okay, to try to be able to recycle the waste to do what I have to do. My home office, you know, I mentioned when we first got on the broadcast a little bit about what I do and my mission and my whole thing. So what do? I adjusted my home office to support me in that mission. So I have an essential oils diffuser where I'm diffusing different essential oils that keep me motivated, keep me energized, such as peppermint. Okay, peppermint's a really good one to kind of uplift you, energize you. Lemon, good for creativity. So I have that going on. And then I have a lot of bright colors in my space. I have all kinds of motivational things that I have up to kind of keep me going. So what does that do? That supports me in creating my mission and creating an environment that makes me both peaceful and productive, which is basically what my company is about. So it's all about when we're thinking about our own personal mission statement or our own business mission statement is kind of leading it back to, okay, you know, we have it all in our head. We have our strategic plans. We have all these great things, but how are the environments in which we are cultivating the mission or creating our mission? And we may have, you know, if we're lucky enough to have an office with several people in it and we're creating a team, how is that team interacting in that environment that supports that greater mission? So what do we, you know, did you have a question? I'm sorry. I'll keep going.
Let me turn my mic. I noticed that if your space is not clear to do whatever it is that you do, you're not going to be productive as much as you could be. Because even just little simple things like you walk in a house and you see stuff out of place is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that when you said about, you know, what is your purpose in your body, your business, and your interpersonal life, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So if my purpose is to be healthy, fit, and trim, then my kitchen needs to line up with that to create healthy, fit, and trim, if I'm hearing this correctly.
And not only that, and then I'll get to this question that I see that about a team setting. The other thing too is, you know, a lot of us exercise in our homes too. So that contributes to health. So do we have a space, for example, that is allowing us to do yoga at home, allowing us to work out? You know, I have clients who have fitness rooms and centers in their homes and those kinds of things. And those, again, go back to your mission, your purpose. Maybe I'm mixing those words up, but your purpose, you know, facilitating your purpose is that, you know, we have to stay healthy in order to facilitate our purpose in life.
Your space needs to be able to do that. And I just saw that if I want a peaceful rest, then my room needs to be peaceful and not chaotic, you know, where stuff, I just learned this in the last few years, don't bring any bills and paperwork and office stuff into the bedroom, because that's where I'm supposed to sleep.
Correct. We don't want that. We don't want anything. Bedrooms are just for rest, relaxation, and other things, obviously. but anyway, you know, we want to keep the bedroom sacred. Now, someone had Terry had a question of how do you create peace with a team setting? Okay, so how do you do that? You know, it's all about seating arrangements. You know, circular seating arrangements. I might have talked on this program before when we were talking about feng shui, some of that other stuff, is talking about when we're sitting, our furniture being rounded so that we have good energy circulating. In a teamwork environment, you know, it's all about if you have a conference room or a small table in your office and you're collaborating, everyone sitting at the table, and we have around us quotes on teamwork and our mission statements, our purpose, our goals. It is, so to speak, when a lot of marketers or business gurus get out there and they say, what is your why? You know, so you're basically matching the why you're doing what you do with your environment, okay? And in a teamwork environment or a meeting room or anything like that, we also want to cultivate colors to kind of create an atmosphere where people feel relaxed, where people feel comfortable being able to express ideas and express their input on projects and things like that. So those things are very important. So I think that in any environment that you're in, that your why has to match the interior. The interior has to match the why or the purpose. So I invite the viewers to really sit down and think about what is your purpose? You know, and what is your personal mission statement? Jack Canfield has a really great book called Success Principles. And I took that, was reading that book, I guess it was last year or the year before last, and did finish this really thick book, or the one that I have is really thick. I went through this exercise in really determining what is my mission? What is my purpose? What do I, you know, what am I here to do? And then from there, it became clearer in understanding how I show up in the world and how I show up in giving my all as far as my services. But I want to be able to replicate that feeling, that idea through my architecture of my home, through the cleanliness of my home. You know, of course, we don't like clutter. Okay, the basic principle. Okay, I have nothing broken in my space. And the minute something's broken or off or out of kilter, I get it corrected. That's just, I just have to do that. I surround myself with things that I love, whether it's photographs, pictures, artwork, those kinds of things, because that helps foster me and my purpose. And I don't necessarily have things around me that are not beneficial to my well-being. Okay. So, and that could be food. It could be people. It could be distractions. It could be, I don't care. It could be something from someone who I consider might be dysfunctional. Whatever. I don't care what it is. Just have things around you that you love. And, you know, and also natural and artificial light. Now, here, I'm in the East Coast, Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, we get a pretty fair amount of sun and so forth. But when I grew up in upstate New York, where it was like gloomy. It's probably snowing right now. And, you know, overcast and all that kind of stuff. So then that just starts messing with my, you know, my feelings and my thoughts and, you know, moodiness and all of that. So even if you, I don't care where you are in this country, make sure you have a lot of good light. So, you know, for me, light feeds me. I like to be bright interiors. So the last house that I lived in before I moved to this house did not have light coming from both the front and the back. And that just started, you know, I had to depend a lot more on artificial light. But now the light that I get in this space is just very much adequate. And it just really warms me in the spirit. So, yeah, you have any questions?
I like, and these three principles that I heard you say, I think we should tweet them. One of the things that we talked about doing here is we always quote other people, you know, like Jim Rome and Napoleon Hill. Well, we need to quote Sherry Burton Ways today. Quote, those are great principles. Keep things around you that you love. So I posted it on Twitter just now. But we need to quote those things that, I mean, not just kind of let them go by. Oh, that was a nice quote. No, when you hear it, write it, do it. And just like you said, put it up. Like if I see, sometimes we have to put a reminder on the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
No clutter, or put something to remind us to maneuver into wherever we need to be until we get there.
Right. So, you know, when we're looking at ourselves and looking at our, you know, our basic needs in life, you know, shelter is one of them, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're thinking about ourselves from, you know, shelter does basic things. It keeps us safe. It gives us a place to sleep and a place to eat. But, you know, when we look at shelter, even our workspaces, you know, we need to think about these from the standpoint of, hey, you know, I'm really interested. Say I'm working a 9-to-5 right now, and I'm interested in starting my own business. Okay. What do I need to have in my interior space if I'm going to be a home-based business to support me in creating a mission or a purpose, I should say, to say be a nonprofit organization helping women who have been traumatized. All right, so let's take that as an example. What do you think we would need to create a space that would support that purpose?
Okay, this is a class question. Everybody gets to participate.
That's right. I want the audience to participate here. You know, right now, women's issues, women's, you know, stuff is really big. Okay. So I just threw out a question. I am working a 9-to-5. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am building a nonprofit. And my purpose is to empower and serve women who have been maybe abused and traumatized. I know at night I've got to create a nice home office or something to kind of get me started. What do you think I would need to support me in that effort in my environment?
I'm going to venture out here. A nice space that has lighting, you know what I mean? So that I can work in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
If I, you know, whatever that space is, it, like if I'm coming to my desk, I need to have light. And I would want flowers, I'm just saying. Just,
okay.
Just, you know, remind me of what it is that I'm doing, maybe to make a difference in someone's life. And flowers would do that for me.
Okay.
And Rachel says paintings, prints, and other wall coverings that are relaxing and calming. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. What else do you think we would need?
Terry and TJ.
Great. Clean lines and cool colors. Okay. But I'm also thinking about, how about pictures of women who are prospering, who are uplifted? How about a framed purpose statement? Okay. That I type up on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's important to me, I might go take it to a framer or Michael's or one of them places and get it matted and just someplace where I can see it every day, right?
That's a simple solution. Like, I agree that just that one little picture of, and if it is to be, it's up to me, just as a saying, or share the, whatever it is, inspiring quotes on the wall. Yes, Rachel,
that's very good. I love that. Yeah, inspiring quotes, because number one, if you're in that kind of business, you've got to have a mindset of being positive, because you got to be positive for these women. You got to be positive enough to go out and what, fundraise, right? Because mm-hmm. you can't have a nonprofit without fundraising.
Correct.
Yeah. Coffee table books. I love it. So you want to have really positive quotes. You want things, you know, there, and you also want to empower yourself, right?
Yes.
To be able to continue with your dream and not give up. So you want those kinds of things around you. For me, which is really, really big, is great stemware. That's it. Okay. The other thing that I think is really cool to have in your environment, and I don't care for what industry you're in, is plants. Mm. You know, they're so powerful.
Yes.
It's not only clean the air, but when we look at them, they give us this really nice healing feeling, right? You know, so you want that. The other thing that I would want is some really nice seating, if I could afford that. Because I might have to start counseling women or meeting people in my home. And I want really good, comfortable furniture where people can really sit down and really talk and give, you know, a lot of information to me that's going to help me with my nonprofit. Okay. And I want, going back to those quotes, I want to also talk about abundance. I want abundance quotes around me so that when I'm going after grants and all that kind of stuff, you know, the power of abundance. I want abundance. I want all those things. So, you know, you want to have things also in accessibility to you. You want things neat, clean, all those good things. And then you might want colors that empower you. And I always say the best color that empowers you is your favorite color.
That's nice.
You know, so.
These little nuggets is what I'm calling right now. I can't think of another name, but they're just enough for you to think about and make a different choice. You understand just what you said about nothing broken in your space. Oh my gosh. Then you start looking around like, okay, wait, I need to get all, you start thinking differently.
Yeah. No, like, yeah. Great example is I have a set of blinds here in my living room. And one of the, you know, the cleaning lady came in and she just, I guess, you know, cleaned a little too hard on the blinds. And so the little thing came off and it just, oh, that just bothered me. It just made me go crazy. So I finally replaced it because I was like, you know, I can't. It's just something about the energy of something that's not perfect, you know,
or not whole,
just kind of takes something away from the energy of the environment in which I am in. And not that my purpose in life is seeking perfection. No, it is seeking excellence in what I do.
That is good because mm-hmm. the creator is excellent.
Right.
He created things whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when we are seeing things that are not whole or it's just not quite finished, that's a distraction and a disconnect. I can see that now. And before, I would not have even paid attention to it, like that broken blind is causing a problem. But we never knew that it was causing a problem by having something broken. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know what you don't know.
Right. So you don't know what you don't know. And then the other piece of it is, I am a former urban planner, and, you know, that plans neighborhoods and, you know, housing and that kind of stuff. So I am so trained when I enter a neighborhood, the first thing I look at is how well the lawn is kept, how well the, if what, whether there's sheets on the windows or if there's, you know, proper window treatments,
mm-hmm.
because these things say something about the people who live inside.
Yes.
To me. Okay. Yes. And it doesn't matter what income you are or what you have or what you don't have. So for me, a broken blind, if I close it and I'm looking at it from the outside, I'm driving up to my house and I see that, it's just like, but that's just because I have that trained eye about that. I just kind of automatically say these people don't care, or they're not, you know, their purpose in life, they may be having some challenges determining who they are and what they want from their life. Okay.
They might be in discovery. Let's give them that.
Exactly. And just, oh, that's a great way to say it. Okay. So yeah.
I agree, but what the thing is that's fascinating for me right now is that it's like an artist. When they paint, they see the shadows and they see all the other things. Most of us just see the picture. We don't see the shadows, and we didn't realize that there was a reflection on the water and all. We didn't see all of that.
Yeah.
You just pointed out the shadows. The things that could be causing us disruption in our lives and in our purpose, because our space is not quite lined up with what we want to do. We don't have the pictures or the quotes on the walls leading us to what we want to do. And we really didn't think it was a big deal. However, it was.
Because
what you don't know, you don't know. And those things that you don't know could be causing a problem for you.
Correct. Because it's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about your purpose. It's all about our mission, all about who we are as individuals, both personally and professionally, and what you value. Okay. It's what you value. So one of the things that this real estate agent does, you know, when she's working with her clients to, you know, find them another home or whatever, she does this, what they call a soul alignment assessment, which is what I do in my design process, which is really cool. And it helps to determine, you know, different things that you want, your goals, your personal goals, your direction, all of those great things. And it kind of makes you kind of think about, you know, how do I want to create this space to be? Or in some cases, she's able to uncover whether or not, based on a person's lifestyle, their purpose, their mission, all of those things, whether they need to move at all and stay where they are and maybe make some changes where they are, or if it would be possible to look for a house that kind of will give them certain things to be able to grow personally and professionally within their purpose.
Wow.
So, a good example of that is she mentioned to me, one of her clients was in a efficiency apartment in Washington, D.C., maybe about 300, 400 square feet. He is a professional, it's a condo, and he travels a lot. And he likes the freedom of travel, and he likes the freedom of being able to do, you know, come and go as he pleases. So she recommended at the end of the day, after doing the soul assessment and what he likes to do, what he enjoys and his purpose and all of that, that he didn't need to move. Because if he moved to a bigger place, he'd had more responsibilities, maybe would have to take care of the lawn and all those kinds of things, and it would interfere with his travel schedule. So it's just little things like that.
And she was astute enough to know she wasn't running after the money. She just wanted to make sure her client had the best health and the best advice available.
Exactly. Bingo. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
It is understanding that sometimes you don't have to buy a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can just retrofit, and that's where I come in.
The one you got.
The one you have to make it work for you to be able to pursue the goals and things. And one of the things that I'm really excited about, I have a course that's launching actually today called the Ultimate MySpace course. And in it, I use a lot of these soul searching questions. You know, we did it. Thank you, Terry, for putting that out there. One of the things that we do in that course is get you to think about certain things about what you want, how you want it, and so forth. And right now, this whole idea of creating sacred space, my time space, all those great things are now trending. It's just, I don't even think I told Terry this, but there's a magazine called Lonny, L-O-N-N-Y magazine. Hi, Karen. That did this, like the top 10 trends for the year or something. And one of it was creating a My Time Space. And I was like, where did they get that from? But anyway, and Oprah magazine, I think in their April or March issue, is going to be talking about some of these concepts. Then I just saw it in a kind of a, you know, woo-woo magazine called Origins magazine, where they're doing a whole feature on sacred space and time out space and all this stuff. Why is that trending? Why is that important? Okay. All we have to do is look at what's happening on the national stage.
I was just getting ready.
People are stressed out and you know, they're looking for a place to escape.
And it's not like they would normally go to Aspen or whatever. They want to go home and peace out. Just like, I really need to get some peace here.
Right. Right. And that's getting more and more. It's trending more and more now. And I'm sure Architectural Digest and some of those others are going to start jumping on board. This whole wellness industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you in the beginning of this broadcast, you know, wellness is in my purpose this year, right?
Yes.
So I'm seeking ways to create more wellness and calmness in my life. So to begin this journey in understanding the relationship between purpose and your environment is start with one space.
Mm.
Okay.
I like that.
One state. And that space is a personal space. And it could be a corner in your room, a corner in your bedroom, or it could be a corner, or if you're lucky enough to have a spare bedroom or what have you. It doesn't matter how big or small your space is, but you know, let's create that my time space, that time out space. And with this program that I put together, there's a series of questions that we're asking ourselves, you know, everything from when I was growing up, what colors did I not like in my mom's house?
Mm.
Okay. What do we see? What are some things that provoke us to be, you know, to clutter? And some techniques on how to take care of that quickly.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm like really excited about this course. It's a, you know, kind of you're at your own pace. Okay. We open it up. We have Peaceful and Productive Design School, which this is the first premier course that I've done. We started this out as a beta testing back in November, and I had a couple of students in there, and they're still working on their rooms because it was so deep, it was so much. And I give a bunch of, you know, extras with the course as well. even an opportunity to work one-on-one with me over Skype to even show me your room and tell me, you know, what are some things you're having some challenges with, and I give you some on-the-spot coaching advice